From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled, Prayers That God Will Answer, the first in this series of studies on the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Heavy Duty Shoes. The text is Deuteronomy 33 and verse 25. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Here are two things provided for the pilgrim, shoes and strength. As for the shoes, they are very needful for traveling along rough ways, and for trampling upon deadly foes. We shall not go barefoot. This would not be suitable for princes of the blood royal. Our shoes shall not be at all of the common sort, for they shall have soles of durable metal, which will not wear out even if the journey be long and difficult. We shall have protection proportionate to the necessities of the road and the battle. Wherefore, let us march boldly on, fearing no harm, even though we tread on serpents, or set our foot upon the dragon himself. As for the strength, it shall be continued as long as our days shall continue, and it shall be proportioned to the stress and burden of those days. The words are few, as thy days thy strength, but the meaning is full. This day we may look for trial, and for work which will require energy. But we may just as confidently look for equal strength. This word given to Asher is given to us also, who have faith wherewith to appropriate it. Let us rise to the holy boldness which it is calculated to create within the believing heart.
The Son of God.
How often have you passed a church that displayed a sign which read, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Many of God's people wonder if they ever succeed in getting through to God in prayer. Does the Bible give instructions on how to pray? How one can know if he is praying in the will of God? The answer is an unequivocal yes. In the course of these studies, Dr. Cairns will show from God's Word both the correct as well as the incorrect approach to God in prayer. Now to conclude this first message entitled, Prayers That God Will Answer, here is Dr. Cairns.
The physical aspect here is important. That you get into the closet, you shut the door. Nothing can take the place of that. The church prayer meeting can't take the place of your closet prayer meeting. The family altar cannot take the place of your closet prayer meeting. Husbands and wives should pray together and with their family. But the time you spend with your wife or your husband in prayer should not take the place of that closet time when you get alone with God and shutting out the world and the family and the business and everything else. You are intensely concentrating upon your God. Pray in secret. And as you do, aim to crucify the flesh. That's obvious here. Identify the hypocritical traits. Identify the heathen characteristics that we all must admit are natural to the flesh. Identify the pride of flesh that would rise up to poison the very place of prayer. Identify it and confess it and crucify the flesh. Aim to crucify the flesh. And of course, aim from first to last to glorify God. To glorify the Lord. This is what the Lord Jesus is teaching us. These are His instructions on the matter of how to succeed in prayer. And He tells us one final thing. He assures us that we will be heard if we pray like this. Now, follow it carefully. He warns us to avoid certain things in prayer. He instructs us to cultivate certain other things in prayer. And now He assures us that if we pray like this, we will be heard. He emphasizes that God hears prayer and God answers prayer. The word He uses, He rewards those who pray. Think of it carefully and simply. We pray to our Father. We pray to our Father. And our Father knows what we need, even before we ask Him. He knows what we need, not just what we ask. Now, emphasize the words of the Savior here. He knows what we need, not just what we ask. Think of your own family situation. When you were a child, or if you have children now, we all know what it is for a child to feel a deep need, a tremendous desire. And he'll come to his father, and he'll spill it out before him, and he'll ask. And it is a crazy father who simply gives him everything that he asks. Because what he asks is not always what he needs. There are times when his asking is the result of defective understanding. Or because of a lack of maturity in his emotions or feelings. Or a lack of foresight. All these things enter into the foolish asking of a child. There are times what he asks for is the right thing. But to give it at that time would be the wrong time. And it is a wise father who knows what his child needs. But when the time comes, and the father sees the need and the time have come together, and he has the means to meet the need, what good father feels to give what his child needs. If ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him? Our Father knows what we need, and He will meet our needs. It's interesting that Jesus said our Father will reward us. What is that reward? In many ways, I think that prayer is its own reward, because it affords us fellowship with God. You know, we cannot but be the better for that. I don't think that I have ever known any blessing, any thrill, any joy, any uplifting of the inner man. I have never known anything in this whole world to compare to having met with God. To have that communion with God is to walk on air. Men and women, prayer in many ways is its own reward. But still Jesus says the Father will reward. The word reward means repay. Repay? Repay? Isn't that a strange word? He'll repay the time you put in prayer. He'll repay the sacrifices to get to the place of prayer. He'll repay the effort. He'll repay the pain. Because if you're going to crucify the flesh and glorify God, it hurts the flesh. But He'll repay you. The word reward also has the simple meaning of give. He'll give us what we need. It has the meaning also of restore. He will restore what we have lost. Isn't that one of the sweetest aspects of getting through to God in prayer? He restores our soul. He restores the years that the locusts have eaten. He restores the peace that we have lost through sin. He restores when we have backslidden in our hearts and we have lost out with God. Have you ever been to the place where you get so far from God, so cold in heart, that you feel your way deep down and there's no way that you can ever be brought up? The memory of sweet fellowship with God is a distant thing. The memory of having the Bible as a living book is a distant thing. The memory of public worship as a joy that would uplift your soul to the gates of heaven is a distant thing. And you feel like there's no way back. Jesus says, your Father in heaven will restore you through prayer. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My dear friend, today, let me with all my heart try to impress upon you that it is not the will of God for a Christian to be going through life with the need of having his soul, his peace, his joy, his power, his usefulness restored, and that need never being met. That's not the will of God. Jesus said, pray to your Father which is in secret. Get alone with God. Get before God. Let the matter be settled in prayer. And He says, He will restore. He will reward. And there's one final thing that struck me as I was studying this, and I must say it thrilled my heart. By answering our prayers, the Lord acknowledges that we are His people just as by making those prayers, we acknowledge He is our God. When we come to pray, we're acknowledging, Thou art God. When He answers, He is acknowledging, You are my children. He'll do it now, and He'll do it at the judgment seat. What a day that will be. When, and I think the idea of reward must bring us to the great day of rewards. When He says, You glorified me in secret, striving in prayer against sin and the flesh. You believed me and my word. You pleaded my promise. Now I openly acknowledge you before heaven, earth, and hell, and welcome you to the everlasting fruit of your labors in prayer. There's a lovely verse in Isaiah 3:10. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Can you get a glimpse into heaven? Just imagine what the Bible tells you about that great throng, Revelation 7, a great throng around the throne. See there a father or a mother who for years went diligently into the secret place to lift up their children before their God. Look around that throng and see that son, that errant daughter, now meeting in glory around the throne. What an eternal reward. What an eternal reward. Is there anything else we do on earth more potent for time and for eternity than to pray? This is something no heathen and no hypocrite can gain by their praying. They have their reward here and now, but it's empty and it's temporary. The reward of true prayer is in some sense eternal. I've spoken to you today from the depths of my heart because I have first spoken every word of this sermon to me. And in the place of prayer, alone with God, I have to take this passage. And I have to have hearing ears and a receptive heart. I have not expressed, I have not preached this as it deserves to be preached. I would to God I could. But I can only trust that the Lord will give to you and to me a hearing ear, an understanding heart, to receive the warning and the instruction and the assurance. And that if we have never known it before, God will teach us individually and as a church what it is to pray prayers that God will answer.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcma.org. That's www.fpcma.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.